What's wrong with being? What's wrong with being? What's wrong with being confident?
Well, I'd like to be confident in the midterm elections, but I can't honestly say that I am. 6:23 is our time here in Houston's Morning News. Election security. If you're not confident now, what must we do to restore confidence? Let's ask John Malcolm, Vice President of the Heritage Foundation. I'm guessing you have a rather lengthy list of changes that would need to be made, John.
I do. Let's face it, we're a closely divided country when it comes to our politics. And we have a lot of very closely contested races. There are some races where it's a blowout. I mean, if you're in, you know, a particular district that's heavily Republican or heavily Democrat, it's not going to be a close election. But we have a lot of very, very close elections at the federal, state, and local level. And there is a lot that comes with winning elections. You not only get the social policies that you like, but if your person gets elected, there are possible government contracts, patronage, real money can flow from the outcomes of an election. And so people have a real strong incentives to get their people elected. And our election laws are, while a little better than they were in 2020, are still pretty lax, so that it is still relatively easy for somebody to cast a fraudulent ballot, which will then, counteract, it will eliminate a legitimate ballot. And it's not only is that easy to do, but after it is done, it is difficult to catch after the fact. And then, of course, you have to find a prosecutor who cares after an election is over to bother prosecuting somebody for election fraud. So, at Heritage, we wanted to document some of this stuff, and we came up with a couple of databases. So one, we have an election fraud database. It's documented. It's just a sampling of election fraud cases from around the country. And really, it's designed to show not only that election fraud really does happen, but the different ways in which it happens. We have about 1,400 proven cases of election fraud. What I mean by that is that somebody was convicted of election fraud, or an election was overturned, or there was a judicial finding that somebody had committed election fraud and imposed a civil or administrative fine. And we have descriptions from all of the different states about who these people are, along with court records or newspaper articles, and says sort of what it is that they did that led them to be convicted. We also have an election integrity scorecard in which we came up with 47 different criteria in 13 different categories about things that we think election laws ought to cover in order to make it easy for eligible voters to vote and hard for people to cheat. And we analyzed not only all 50 states, but also the District of Columbia, which is, of course, not a state, but it has 3 electoral college votes. So, when the president gets elected, and we analyzed the laws in each of those states according to those 13 categories and 47 criteria, and we rank them, and we make it very clear for each of these states where they scored well and which one of these criteria and where they didn't. And we have model laws in our election fraud, our election integrity scorecard database.
Okay, let me interject here because we need to talk about Texas. Okay, Texas came in 8. But one of the laws that we passed, was that no longer can you use a post office box to as your proof of residence. You need to have a physical address. Well, LULAC and the Democrats found a liberal judge who has shut down that part of the law. So it's not just enough to rate the states by the kinds of laws they have if the laws are being battled in court and not executed on election day.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. It's not only that, but that's actually a judge who did it. I mean, you can have the best laws in the country. If they are not going to be faithfully implemented, then they're not worth the paper that they are written on. And if a judge undoes them, of course, then that also undermines what the people's representatives wanted to have happen. Both are serious issues. So one, we list what these laws are, so that everybody can see them.
Okay.
But then it's up to the people to insist that their public officials, in fact, adhere to these laws, or insist that their public officials pass new laws to try to improve them. And we even have in here, among these 47 criteria, different ways in which the people can do that, including taking folks to court when they don't believe that these laws are being properly implemented having consequences.
We're plumb out of time, John, but thank you. Appreciate it as always. Vice President of the Heritage Foundation, John Malcolm.